know, it is an honor to give a speech at a wedding. If you're asked to give a speech, that means they obviously have a lot of faith and trust that you're going to do a good job. One of the first things that can help do that is when you first get up there, you introduce yourself, and then you just thank the person for bringing you up there, for having you part of their day. You show them a bit of gratitude of why they chose you to be that special somebody. And I know for a fact that I've never been a best man at a wedding, and I know, I feel like maybe there's still time. There's still time.
I've never been a maid of honor or anything either, so.
Yeah, and I think it would be nice. You know, I feel like maybe if I was younger, I'd be like, oh man, like why do I have to do this? It's like a task or whatever. But now that I have kids of my own, or just like I've grown up a little bit, I found that it would be like, it's so special to be that person. I don't think anyone should discount that.
Path to Business, the podcast. We are your hosts, Luke and Bethany Barrett. We're a husband and wife team building a legacy with our three children that we're so damn proud of. Full-time wedding photographer and videographer operating a thriving six-figure business.
We share all our best strategies from the lessons that we've learned along the way.
Featuring other amazing businesses so you can genuinely get inspired.
This is your Path to Business.
Today we're chatting all things wedding speeches and what makes a good one, because we all know what a bad one sounds like. And it's time that we set the record straight on what, after all of these weddings that we've been to, like 300 plus weddings, what makes a good one and what makes a bad one?
I think the first thing right off the bat that I am thinking of is length of the speech.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. It's one of the most important things is, I've seen some, you know, there are exceptions that have gone for 15 minutes, which is definitely the max a speech should be. And it was super entertaining through the whole thing. You could tell that the person thought it out and there was funny. It was like very personable. It had good information, made people laugh and cry and all of that stuff. But a 3 to 5 minute kind of hit the points. Especially if you're like a best man, maid of honor, or a friend going up to do a speech.
Sometimes when people, especially it's like maid of honors or best mans, will have like all these inside jokes and you're just like, hey, they're like, go Sabres. And you're like, cool. You know what I mean? Like nobody else laughs. Nobody gets it. I always love the ones it's like how we met, or a funny thing like we got in trouble as kids.
Yeah,
or
the trouble ones.
Meeting the parents for the first time. So like the parents' experience with meeting so and so. Yeah, like I love those. Or just funny things, that moments that have happened, right? Where they're just, the bride grew up like very much hands-on, like living at a cottage doing renovations, and then like the new guy or girl that came into the situation was just like, had no experience with that, and was just like, was completely clueless with a lot of stuff, and just like how funny it was for them, and just like how they bonded over something that they really had no idea about. And I think that's even similar to you and my dad, right? Like my dad loves to make fun of you because he's like, he doesn't know how to do anything, right? Like, and
well, obviously throwing me under the bus here.
But you didn't, and I'm pretty sure he said it in his speech, like you didn't, even your dad said like you never held like a power tool before, and now, you know, we've renovated basements and built decks and, you know, done all these things, right? So it's not that it's impossible, but it is funny. I mean, how many times you got a chainsaw stuck, right? Like that would be a story my dad would probably tell. Future wedding, don't do that face. But those are funny, right? And I think that that's the idea, is it's that it's comical, people can relate to that, and it just sort of makes like a feel-good story. So I think focusing on doing something that's maybe a little embarrassing but not too bad, and making it a little bit funny, maybe the first time they met them or whatever, or even I love when they switch to the I knew you were the person for that person because of, right? Like I love when it kind of has a funny story and then they switch to that to kind of like end it off on like a positive, happy note, right? Like those, that's my favorite.
Yeah, actually, as an example of that, I remember one speech where it was the best man was talking about how he knew that this bride was going to be, or like the girlfriend at the time was going to be the one that they marry, because he got kicked out of the shotgun seat into the back, and this girl ended up taking, you know, shotgun in the car, and he's like, that's how I knew I was his best friend growing up, and he kicked me to the back seat so that you could have the front seat. And that's when I knew you were going to marry each other.
I mean, there's been so many great speeches. Like, I'll never forget the one this year where the dad was talking about how he had, like, all these daughters, and it was, like, the first time meeting this boy who came over, and they were hanging out in the basement, and how he had to, like, psych himself up to be this, like, tough dad.
Yeah, because every dad dreams of going downstairs and being like, you, get away from my daughter, you know, kind of thing.
He, like, chokes at the last minute, and, like, I think everyone was just, like, cry laughing through that, because it was just so relatable, so funny, and, like, we knew, like, how chill the groom is, and, like, how fun he is, and how respectful he was, and so it was just, like, it just was funny, right? Like, in those moments, I feel like that's where a good speech is good, because it hasn't gone on, like you said, more than 15 minutes, but it kind of hits on those points.
There are a couple different types of speeches. There's best man, maid of honor, parents, and then bride and groom. So we're going to start by discussing anyone else but the bride and groom, and then we'll get into the bride and groom afterwards. I think there's a certain structure to a speech. If you're writing a speech and you got asked, isn't it almost nothing more nerve-wracking than having to go up at someone's wedding in front of their whole family and friends and say a speech about them? It can really, especially if you're not good at any public speaking, to be able to go up there and do it well and not embarrass yourself, I guess. Especially if you're like, oh wow, they have video and they're going to be recording and it's going to be immortalized forever. And they're going to review this and be able to talk about it. There's a few things that you can add to your speech, or kind of a structure that you can follow to make sure that you stay on point, that people will remember your speeches. Because there's definitely some through the years where I've remembered their speech after all these years because it was so good. And there's definitely a whole bunch that are not as memorable because they weren't good.
Okay, so what makes a good one? Like, what, in your opinion, is it similar to what I said, or do you find...
Yeah, I think the first thing you got to do is introduce yourself, because not everyone's going to know who you are. So usually you say your name, kind of how you became friends or you're in the picture. Maybe it's your brother even. The next thing you want to say is a story. I think going straight into a story about...
like your favorite memory.
Yeah, your favorite memory of, like, you and that one person. So either if you're on the bride's side, on the groom's side, you say a story about how you met each other. And then you can say a story, another quick one, about your first time noticing the two of them together.
One little tip that I'm going to throw in here, however, when it comes to doing speeches, is don't forget to bring up your drink, because everybody goes for a toast usually at the end, and 9 times out of 10 they forget to bring a drink up, or anyways, and they have this, like, weird, like, they put their hand up like they are cheersing everybody.
Or someone quickly just hands them a drink.
Yeah, so number one tip, make sure you bring your drink. I know you can get a little nervous. And then if you need reading glasses, that's another thing. Make sure you don't forget those. That seems to be, like, a thing where they just have a hard time reading it. I wanted to ask a question, though. What do you think about people not doing speeches? Because we've been to a few weddings where it's, like, none of the parents are doing speeches, or... there's been no speeches almost. Like, what is your thoughts on that? Because to me, I really like speeches. Like, I like to get to know people. I think it's a really nice opportunity for families or friends to say nice things about this new union.
I mean, it's their choice. They don't have to have any speeches if they don't want to. I know that I want to give a speech at, you know, my kids' weddings or any of my friends' weddings. I've even asked, I wasn't even asked to give a speech, and I asked them if I could go up and give a speech, because maybe it's because we've been going to so many weddings and I know the importance or how impactful a good speech can be, not only to shed light on some experiences that you've shared with the couple, but also to let everyone else know a bit more about why they're so special to you. You just want, like, some feel-good stories. You just don't want to come out and, like, embarrass somebody on their wedding day.
I kind of like those ones too. Like, a story about, like, you know, them stealing stuff as a kid. Like, I think about Noah, like, our son right now, and every single day he comes home from school and he's, like, taken something from school. Like, he's just, I don't know why, he just, like, does that. Or he, right now, he's in a phase where he gives everybody the middle finger all the time, right? Like, not intentional, but it's kind of funny. Just think of some of these things where I can think about when you were 5 years old and you used to, like, give everybody the middle finger and I had to get a talking to, right? Like, I don't know. I think that those are kind of funny stories that I personally probably would want to share.
Yeah, and that's how you get to a 45-minute speech.
No, we don't have to do every single one. Well,
I'm just saying. Those are the kind of stories that, yeah, cool, you get to hear it and like, at 5 years old, but nobody really cares. Cares that he was getting the middle finger. I think if he gets famous for his videos that we posted on TikTok, I think that's something we can talk about. But again, keep the stories more positive in the sense that you were so cute when you were five because you'd love to like cuddle and do this, or you know, Emma would draw hearts all the time and that kind of stuff. I think that is better to remember than like he used to swear at you when he was five, you know.
But I think that's so funny. So
yeah, but
to me, I would want to do that. So I think it's hard because there's going to be a difference. Yeah, there's going to be a difference of opinions and what people think is funny too, right? So you might not think so, but I've seen you laugh like hysterically.
Well, the one that I can remember right away is that the dad would yell at the kid being like, game time's over, you gotta get off the video games. And obviously I grew up playing video games, so to me it was super relatable. Any parent, you know, now I'm doing it to my kids. Yeah. Where it's just like, hey, it's time to go to bed, like get off the game. Yeah. Just one more game, dad, just till I'm done this game.
Exactly, right? So I think that there's value in sort of having like a little funny story, something emotional, and then I think talking about them as a couple and like what you're excited about, I think that's also a really good thing to kind of finish the speech on. And in the sense of like how you see them just being together forever because they're just so in love, or they're so perfect for each other, or they complement each other so well. You know, they're kind of like that yin and yang. Like, I love it when it's just like a nice feel good thing to leave it on.
Yeah.
And honestly, another big thing as well is to avoid Googling, right? Like, let's just avoid Google.
And before I forget, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about the funny little starter speeches where they go, oh, this is the last time that you're ever going to have the upper hand?
Yeah.
Which we've heard 100 times.
I think it's kind of funny. Obviously, I think that the thing is we hear these things 100 times, but at that wedding, that might be the first time everybody, those 100 people in the room have ever heard
that
story, right? So I always have to think about that, is like when they go to do the shoe game and we're like, really, again, you know, like another shoe game. For everybody else in the room, they might be like, oh, cool, like I didn't know that, that they like to sleep in, or they like to drink more coffee, or this one likes to cook, or whatever, right? Like it's just, they wanted to do that, right? And yeah, it's new to them.
And thinking back to, you always want to end it on something really positive, but I think you always want to start it with something positive. It's almost like a shit sandwich, you know, where you tell somebody good news and then the bad news and then some good news afterwards. So if you're going to have anything embarrassing or somewhat possibly negative or whatever it may be, just put that in the middle somewhere. But always start off, you know, it is an honor to give a speech at a wedding. If you're asked to give a speech, that means they obviously have a lot of faith and trust that you're going to do a good job. One of the first things that can help do that is when you first get up there, you introduce yourself and then you just thank the person for bringing you up there, for having you part of their day. You show them a bit of gratitude of why they chose you to be that special somebody. And I know for a fact that I've never been a best man at a wedding, and I know, I feel like maybe there's still time. There's still time.
I've never been a maid of honor or anything either, so.
Yeah, and I think it would be nice. You know, I feel like maybe if I was younger, I'd be like, oh man, like, why do I have to do this? It's like a task or whatever. But now that I have kids of my own, or just like I've grown up a little bit, I found that it would be like, it's so special to be that person. I don't think anyone should discount that.
True. It is an honor to be able to do this, for sure. To be like a part of someone's day. I think at the end of it too, people really remember how they felt about your speech, right? Like we just rewatched some of our stuff from our wedding day, but we didn't really remember what people said. Oh. Like we didn't remember the words they said.
So shout out to having video.
Yeah.
You need to get video don't. So that you can remember the speeches, because photos don't do it justice.
No, like we remember how we felt about them. We remember that, like, my dad's was funny, your dad's was funny. Like, we remember that stuff. Your best man was drunk, you know, that was kind of That was kind of funny. But that's another tip, is to not get loaded before you go and give a speech. I think that's another thing, is to really make sure that you're sober so that you don't embarrass yourself.
Yeah, we should almost play the clip of my best man giving his speech as what not to do.
Yeah.
Because he did not do a great job, and that was at my wedding. I feel like that's a little bit sad. Definitely choose somebody that's going to be there like respectfully and that you trust to do a good job.
Last but not least, I think at the end, we've already mentioned that you should bring your drink up, but a nice way at the end is to give a toast to everybody. One of the things that I would say as well is to avoid when it comes to doing a speech is to thank everybody for coming from everywhere across the globe or whatever it is, because that is really the couple's job to like come up there and say thank you. So I feel like at almost every speech that we've ever seen, it's like maid of honor and the best man will thank everyone from coming from everywhere. And then the parents will thank everyone from coming from everywhere. And then by the time the couple gets to speak, it's like, well, we've already been thanked 4 times. So don't take that away from them. If you want to say thank you to people from coming from far away, do that like personally. End the speech with a toast.
One that I hear a lot, which is kind of funny, is like, and make lots of babies.
Yeah.
Usually it's the parents that start doing that. But even ending with a quote sometimes is nice, or like a saying.
Yeah, or a piece of advice.
Yeah, exactly. Just something to end it off on a positive note. It's kind of cool to have like that little bit of advice, and it also works really well for a final product of like a wedding video, to put it together, because it's important to have some good audio for that.
I think that there's no rules on the order of when speeches happen, because I have seen it where the bride and groom were the first ones to go up and speak. And I kind of like that personally, because then they can kind of just relax and like take a break through dinner and just like really enjoy the speeches and all of the events that are happening, versus being a little, like if they are a bit nervous about giving a speech, like I feel like that kind of just lingers on, that now they have like a 2-hour dinner and they have to just wait till the end to kind of give like their final thing. This way, at least we can just get that done, do their grand entrance, go right into their first speech, and then chill at least until maybe their first dance or something.
Yeah, it opens the door to be able to maybe drink a little bit during dinner as well. Usually that's something that they're a little bit more reserved, because they know there's other official events that have to happen. So they want to keep a clear mind, but then they get nervous or everyone else is drinking, maybe they get jealous of that.
It just lets them relax a little bit. Yeah. And so I hope to see more of that. And again, if they go to thank everybody in this case, I think it'll be nice because they'll be the first ones to say it. But again, there is no real order. It is, I feel like there's people have these rules, it has to be in a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. There really is no rules. Like, I love a wedding that's efficient. You do your grand entrance, you go into like a cake cutting, or you do a speech, your first dance, like you get all that done so that you can just like chill. That to me is like a really good way to maximize and get efficiency in your day. I think there's a couple of things that all couples should do, and maybe some things that they shouldn't. First one definitely being that they should thank everybody, obviously, for coming. It doesn't mean that they need to give like a whole speech about each person individually. And I also think that both people should talk. I know I see that a lot where, you know, only one person will speak, but I do think there's value, especially for us, like final product wise, to have both of them say something, whether it's about their own family or about each other. I think that there's something to be done there. So thanking everybody for coming, and then also thanking the vendors. There's nothing better than having them say how excited they are to see the final product, how fun it's been working with you, how they've enjoyed this whole process, that they're just so happy that they chose us. Like, to me, that is like the biggest compliment, is having them thank us rather than just saying like, thanks to our wonderful photographers, and then that's it. You know, like, I feel like it's just nice for them to say a little bit more.
And we've been at weddings where we weren't even thanked at all. They thanked the venue, they thanked like the DJ, they thanked the florist, and then they didn't even thank us. And we're there in their face with cameras, and I'm just waiting for it, and it's just never coming.
We are like, hi.
I mean, so, it doesn't happen all the time, but when that does happen, I just sit there just like,
I know, really? It's a little sad.
Really?
A little sad face. Because we're like, what about me?
I guess you're not going to get that good of a video.
And then the other part is that we really like is an opportunity for them to say nice things about their parents or whoever has been, maybe doesn't have to be their parents, maybe it's their grandparents or best sibling. Friend or sibling, people that have been there for them. There's nothing more stressful and gives you like a real dose of reality of who's your close friends and family than planning a wedding, right? Like, talk about figuring out, like, other than having a kid, like, when you get married, all of the sort of politics that can arise from that, that sort of comes out, right? So having people that have been there for you, not only through the wedding planning process, but through, like, your entire life as well, that you can take an opportunity to thank, I think is really important, too.
Those are the kind of things that I always encourage, because they will most likely make it into the final product if they're having a wedding video made. Thinking, you know, your parents, your friends, your siblings, whoever's had a big influence on your life, and then shifting into being excited that you're finally married to each other.
Yeah.
Even repeating some of the vows or just paraphrasing what you guys said to each other, especially if you haven't had personal vows at all during the day, it's just a really nice time to say something, and not just one person says it to the other and the other one's quiet. Like you said, I think we need to hear from both, even if it's just a few sentences, yeah. Something. We know that everyone isn't super comfortable with the mic, but you can just look at each other,
yeah.
With the microphone. Oh, biggest tip, make sure that you talk really well into the microphone.
Ugh,
and
yeah.
Don't bang the podium with your hands all the time.
Because it sounds like this.
Yeah, because most of the time the podium has the mic stand that's there and then the mic is there. The vibrations from hitting the podium constantly really gets recorded in the audio and there's no way around it.
Yeah.
So I've done tons of speeches where you can't unhear the banging constantly every 2 seconds. It could be a nervous twitch, it could be putting your hands down, your glasses, looking at your phone, whatever it is, if you're touching the podium in weird ways during a speech, please avoid that, because it does not come out. You can't just edit it out. It's not that simple. Be very mindful of the additional noises that are happening around giving a speech.
Yeah, that's really important for an MC, or even what we do is, if there is no MC, is to go up to each person and give them some tips and tricks. Another big thing for us, I'm just going to throw this in here, is that they don't move from the podium as well. Like, especially when we're doing video, if they start walking around, like, we have lights set up and backup audios and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, recordings. It's so important that they don't, like, walk around or, like, hold the mic at, like, their belly button.
Yeah, or the mic is here and they're talking to the couple, like, this way or this way. And when you're talking with your voice projecting this way, the microphone is not going to be able to hear you.
Well, just not as nicely, right? I think that's really what it comes to. And also one last one that I'm going to throw in here, because this has definitely ticked us off a few times, is venues that will be clearing dishes while there's a speech happening, or be clearing plates
or serving.
Like, sometimes we've been okay with having servers if they're very mindful of not going through cameras constantly. But we've had it so many times where it's like literally there's a speech happening and there's somebody like clearing plates and dishes and scraping and all that stuff, and they're like 10 feet from the podium. And not only do we see it in the background of their video, but we also hear it.
The best time to have the speeches is once everyone has a plate, then that's when you should do speeches, especially when you're doing it in between courses, because then, yeah, there are no servers walking around. There are not a lot of noises happening. Feeding the head table first so that they eat, so that they don't eat during a speech, which is a huge one too, especially when you're trying to get reaction shots and the whole speech, the couple is just eating food. It's not pleasant to see photos. Like, we just completely stopped taking photos of anyone that's eating because nobody wants to see themselves eating.
We actually tell our couples, like, hey, just a few tips. As soon as you get your meal, you need to scarf it down as quickly
as
you can.
Well, you know, enjoy it a little bit, but we'll always come and see it and say, hey, are you guys done eating? They're done plating. You know, we coordinate a lot with the DJ, with the MC, with whoever's going up, to make sure that everyone's ready before a speech happens, because we just want, again, we care so much about giving a good product.
But we say, like, you know, eat your food, before you mingle, because we don't want you to be eating throughout a speech, right? And then that's another reason why it's so important. We're going to throw this in here again, to feed your vendors.
Same
time as the head table. Nothing makes me more upset than, like, they put our plate down and they go, a speech is about to start. And you go, perfect. Now, I don't know how long this speech is going to be. Hopefully it's not 45 minutes, so that I can actually eat a nice and warm meal that the clients have paid for, right, at the end of the day. Another thing, feed your vendors, because if not, we're going to be hangry, okay? And then if you don't thank us, there's just like a lot of bad things happening, okay? Bad juju here.
Yeah, this podcast was about how to write a good speech, but now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of what makes the logistics of speeches also really good, which I didn't think we were going to get into. It does make a huge difference. I think we explain this to a lot of our couples, but there's different formats of doing speeches too. Sometimes you want to do the full dinner experience and then back-to-back-to-back speeches afterwards.
I don't like that though.
It is doable, but mostly if you're doing buffet as a meal, where you call up all the tables, and as soon as everyone's been served, then you can start calling up the speeches one after the other. That has some validity to it, especially I kind of like it as a videographer, because then I don't have to like start stop my cameras and be caught off guard. I just know that they're all gonna run one after the other. It makes it really simple for us, and there's no waiters because everyone is kind of self-serving. The only drawback is, especially if it's later in the year, it's going to be dark, or if it's even in July, August, and you start speeches at 8 and the sun is still out, and then it's setting as the speeches are going. So you have to, you know, turn on lights for some. The lighting scenario is a little bit different through every speech, and it's going to be a little tough to match them up. But I'm just saying there's different ways of doing speeches. I would say the most common one is you would do the first course, then like maid of honor, best man, or the parents, depending on how you want to do it. Clear the plates, dinner comes out, then you would do the other one, either parents or best man, maid of honor. Yeah. And then once dessert is served, then the couple would come up and do their thank you speech.
And an MC is nice, but we also want to make sure that your MC is not doing a 5-minute speech before each person that comes up as well. I think that that's also something to keep in mind, is like the MC doesn't need to give a story about every single person. Like, that's super detailed, right? They can literally just announce them, who they are, and then kind of get through it.
Yeah, most of the time it's, we're going to bring up the best man, James.
Yeah.
Everyone give a hand to James.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
We don't need any more than that. Unless, like, you're really close with James and you want to, like, give him a little more than that. But again, keep it at, like, under a minute, right? Because we don't really need it to be any longer than that.
The time to give more of an introduction, especially to the wedding party, is if you're doing like maybe a grand entrance and you want your MC to give a little bit more detail of who they are. But even then, it can last a while. Yeah, grand entrances are another one where, like, spoken word, you don't need very much. You just want to, like, just send in the groups of people and let's get it done.
I think that, yeah, that used to be a big thing where you do like this full thing about each person. I think we've just kind of gone away from that because it takes too long. People want to eat. Everyone's hungry. We kind of went all over the place on this one. But I hope that you've taken away some helpful tips when it comes to speeches and how to write a good one, and just some things to keep in mind if you are going to be doing a speech. I mean, all of the things that we touched on are really things that are going to affect that part of the day. And so I think it's really important that we've touched on them. And then you have an idea of where we're coming from. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.